Scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25, and then it continues into chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. And it reads, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. Happy Chinese New Year. We can be more excited about that. It's the Chinese New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. Wonderful. We also begin in the church this season of Lent. It is a time for us to reflect, to repent, and recommit ourselves to Christ. For we know that it is time that we prepare ourselves as a church for Easter, where we celebrate that glorious day to remember Christ's resurrection. And during this season of Lent, I wanted just to focus on something a little bit different, looking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 4 and 5, and also looking at the Beatitudes that Jesus talks about. It was wonderful last year that Samantha and Chris led the children's choir youth in the Beatitudes, and the discussion that ensued was quite interesting. So I wanted the church to enter and to think about the Beatitudes. Many of you know the Beatitudes. They are blessings that Jesus gave when he preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Some say there are 8, 9, or 10 Beatitudes, and we're going to look at these Beatitudes over the next few weeks. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you hear my words, that they reflect the words in the Scripture, that they show the blessings and the Beatitudes that you gave, and your will for us in our lives. For Lord, we know as Christians we are called to live by Christ, to learn how to do that exactly, and we hear these words in the message. May our reflections be truthful and reflecting of our love and faith for you. Amen. So this past Wednesday on February 14th, it was supposed to be a great day. For the Christian church, it was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season. For those who love red and hearts and love, it was Valentine's Day, a day to celebrate love. But we also know, if you paid attention to what's happening in the news lately, it was a tragic day for the people of Florida and for our country as well. For on that day, a young man went into the school that he had been expelled from with an automatic rifle and began shooting at the students and teachers that ran by him. At the end of the shooting, they say that 17 people were killed, over 15 were injured, and many were still in the hospital now. And the suspect was a 19-year-old man named Nicholas Cruz. In our country, this is the 18th mass shooting since 2018 began. That's one shooting every 3 weeks. And since this shooting and since the other shootings that have happened these past few months, there always begins the debate about the need for better gun control laws, the debate about the need for better mental health care, the debate about what's happening in our schools and security that is needed. They talk about what happened to the shooter and his life, his family, who's to blame. Is it the local police that received news from neighbors who were worried about this neighbor? Or even the FBI, who they say received a report from a random person noticing a post that was very threatening that they later found out was posted by this shooter. And during this tragedy, our country and the people, we tend to focus on all these issues. You turn on any news station and there's different news stories about the shooter's life, a neighbor saying that they shot the shooter, kill an animal in the neighborhood, people from the FBI saying how to look at terrorists and warning and threatening signs, school administrators talking about the security of our children in our school, and we pray for the teachers who watch over the children each day. All these things become a focus, and we then tend to lose focus on God. We tend to maybe then draw away from God because we dwell so much in this tragedy. And I want us to think about this tragedy and all that is happening as not a way to draw away from God, but as a way to draw closer to God, especially in this season of Lent. For in this season of Lent, we want to focus on the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is very present in the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke in this morning's passage. For Jesus, when he was beginning his ministry, and we see so much wonderful detail in the book of Matthew of his ministry, he sat and he preached and he taught, and then he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount and he gave the Beatitudes, these eight blessings. They say that each Beatitude is like a proverb, a proclamation without narrative. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 10, we receive the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These Beatitudes were wonderful messages from Jesus as he was speaking to the people, specifically speaking to them at the beginning of his ministry. He was, in a way, setting a foundation for his ministry of his teachings to come. The author, John Piper, says that the Beatitudes are a way to celebrate the power of God in the life of us disciples. What a wonderful way to think about the Beatitudes is a way to celebrate the power of God in our lives. So we look at Jesus as he was speaking to the people, the thousands of people that had gathered before him, to hear his words to share about the power of God and see what the Beatitudes mean to those people then and to us today as well. We look specifically at verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, to know what Jesus meant with that beatitude. But we also want to look at Jesus' ministry and how it began, kind of like a superhero origin story. We know that in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus was beginning his ministry at the very beginning. He didn't jump right in and start teaching in the synagogues. He didn't find the nearest blind person and heal them and restore their eyesight. He didn't go right away and recruit the disciples. What did Jesus do at the very beginning of his ministry? He fasted. He went in solitude. He prayed. They say he went into the wilderness and for 40 days he fasted and he prayed and he drew closer to God as he was discerning God's will, hearing God's call for his mission. Jesus did those things for 40 days and at the end of the 40 days he came out and was tempted by the devil with many things. The devil tempted him with food, the devil tempted him with power, the devil tempted him with eternal life to not be killed. But Jesus responded to him in Matthew 4, verse 10, saying, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus was showing that he was ready for the ministry that God was calling to him, the mission that God was calling him to fulfill. Then Jesus went on in Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17, learning first that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been arrested. And we know that later John the Baptist was killed. Imagine Jesus' mourning and sadness during this time. He had then again retreated to again a time of solitude and prayer. And he came out of the solitude and prayer, verse 17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. These are the words that Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He was echoing the words of his cousin John the Baptist, who had baptized people in time of preparing them for the coming of the Lord. Jesus was continuing his ministry. And then we know Jesus then, finally in Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22, is ready to call the first disciples. He called the brothers Simon, Peter, and Andrew. He called the brothers James and John, telling them to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He was ready to begin his ministry and recruited the disciples. This ministry was so exciting to see as it was forming. We know that Jesus went throughout Galilee, then teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the news of the kingdom, curing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was encountering people who were possessed by demons. He was encountering people who were epileptic. He was encountering people that were crippled or paralyzed, and he was healing them all. Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, was doing what people thought great leaders and prophets of that time would do. He was healing them physically, making the blind see, making the lame walk, taking the demons out of people. He did this as great crowds were following him, they say, throughout Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Soon, all these people began to hear of Jesus' miracles and what he was doing. But Jesus realized that it wasn't the physical miracles that they needed to think and concentrate on, but it was the spiritual saving that he would give them. He wanted to shift the focus of the way he was curing diseases and healing the lame away from the physical needs he was providing for the people, and instead talk about the spiritual needs. So we see in this morning's passage that as people were following him and his fame was spreading, Jesus decided to do something different. He took himself outside of the synagogues and the temples where people expected him to be to preach and teach. He went away from all those that were sick and lame, and instead he let the all crowd gather near him. And he began to speak with the disciples, and he taught them. They call these passages from Matthew 5 to 7 the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is giving one of the longest sermons recorded in the Gospels. He's talking about the tenets of being Christ-like, about how to follow God and be faithful to God. So then we see these wonderful sets of Beatitudes that begin the Sermon on the Mount. The blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom, and all the other blesseds. They say that the Beatitudes come in two forms. The first part is the condition. A condition that Jesus takes from the Old Testament, saying to them, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then there is the result. The result is theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is teaching them the Beatitudes in this formula, saying there is a condition that you must meet, a lifestyle that you must live. And when you meet and live that lifestyle and condition, then you will receive the results, the great result from God. And in this morning's Beatitude, we see the condition. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And we see the result, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you think about condition, we ourselves in our lives have so many conditions in our lives. Your job, you have conditions. You are required to perform the task, the duties of your job. And then your result is your paycheck. If I, as the minister, didn't meet my conditions, if someone was sick and in the hospital and I didn't visit them, if I didn't show up on Sunday and there was no message and you would just kind of stand around and we'd have the great young adults who could probably fill in with great music, but I just decided to go sit next to May in the front row and not give a sermon, I wouldn't be meeting that condition and I wouldn't then expect to receive a paycheck. Even the Girl Scouts and their wonderful program, I'm sure there are conditions that we can ask Kathleen and Hannah and Katie about, that they must meet as a Girl Scout to follow the Girl Scout code, to perform different tasks and duties to receive their merit badges, to sell, yes, every year, the Girl Scout cookies, right, as a way to raise funds for the Girl Scout. They meet the conditions and they receive the results of being great young women, faithful and service-filled women. So we have in life all these conditions that we live by and we see the results. So Jesus is telling people, pay attention. There is this condition you must fulfill and you will receive a result. The condition, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? He's not saying mean be the idea of the material earthly poor. He's not saying go and sell all your possessions and be poor and, you know, live on the streets, although we do pray for those who live on the streets and care for them. But Jesus is saying poor in spirit is your spiritual self, your soul, your faith. He is recognizing that you must be poor in spirit. And a way to think about the phrase poor in spirit is to think about the word humble. To say that instead of being poor, you must be humble. What does it mean to be humble in spirit? Being humble in spirit means knowing that you are only significant because God is significant. Being humble in spirit knows that you are blessed not by your own deeds, but by God's divine action in your life. Being humble in spirit knows that you will receive eternal life, not because of your earthly wealth or your earthly actions, but by the spiritual wealth you possess and your spiritual faith you have. That is what it means to be humble in spirit. And Jesus is telling the people of those times, pay attention. You are seeking the wrong kind of wealth. You are seeking wealth in material goods. You are seeking wealth that comes from prestige and being a great religious leader, but also then being a hypocrite. You are seeking the wrong kind of wealth. Do not store up your treasures on earth, but in heaven instead. Reminding them that they are significant because God is significant. Reminding them that it is not their doing, but God's doing that makes them blessed. And reminding them that they receive eternal life because of their faith and not because of their spirit, because of their earthly wealth. These are the conditions that Jesus is teaching the people when he's telling them they must be poor in spirit. And then the result they will receive is a wonderful result to be, have the kingdom of heaven. They talk about the significance of having the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a beautiful place where we can make the kingdom of heaven on earth, where we follow the command to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, to remember to do as Jesus commands, to love our neighbors as ourselves. The kingdom of heaven is a beautiful image that we must receive, but we must follow the condition of being humble as well. So then when we think about something like this shooting, this tragic shooting that happened in this world, I've seen a sort of circular graph of the shooting where it says, here's the shooting that happens. And then we move on to a time of mourning as a country. And then we move on to the debates and the protests and the changes we want to see happen. And then we move to not many changes happening, maybe a little bit more stricter gun control laws, or maybe the schools try to be better at counseling for those who have mental health issues, or monitor each other, and maybe for a while some people are nicer to each other on Facebook, but then we become a complacent society, and then we forget even that these things happened, and before we know it, we were back to the beginning where there is another shooting in another place. It's a bad circle or pattern that we seem to be establishing in this world. That is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven instead is a place where when a shooting happens, we don't enter a time of debate, or we don't try to force laws that change that not everyone agrees with, and we don't forget what happens and lose compassion for the people. Instead, the kingdom of heaven is remembering our humble spirit, that God is significant in our lives, that God's divine action makes things happen, that we are then humble and we have compassion for those who experience the loss of a loved one through a shooting, even though we ourselves may not have ever experienced that. We then also have compassion and humbleness as we reflect on the social justice that is needed. Yes, stricter gun control laws. Yes, better mental health care for people who need it. And also compassion for the shooter and the shooter's family, to understand what that person might have gone through to lead them up to the point in their life where they decided to take a gun and kill other people. We must have compassion and be humble in our own lives. And that is what the kingdom of heaven is like, so that we receive eternal life with God in a beautiful place where everyone loves each other, where there is no hatred and tragedies are avoided. I want to continue to talk about the other Beatitudes as we continue this next few Sundays, to see the other ways that we are blessed and think about the conditions, the way we must live in order to receive eternal life with God. And during these next 40 days of Lent, I encourage you, as I do every year, to take on or give up something for Lent. If you don't mind, raise your hand if you've decided to take on or give up something. Not too many, a couple. Zachary raised his hand. We'll have to ask him. So think about that. It can be something as simple as giving up. I know some of you love your coffee. You might want to give up coffee. Or I share every year that I have a friend who gives up rice for 40 days, which is very hard to do. I have a set of friends who are doing an interesting thing. They are taking a trash bag, and each day they are placing in that trash bag something in their home they really honestly don't need. So that at the end of the 40 days, they might be like clothing. You know I myself can look in my closet, and I'm sure I have 40 pieces of clothing I probably don't need. They put each day one item of clothing or a toy or a canned food from their pantry into that trash bag. So at the end of 40 days, they have something they can donate, a bag of clothes to Goodwill, a bag of canned foods and boxed foods that they could give to a food bank, or toys that they can give to a local women's shelter for the kids who are in the shelter. That's a thing to take on for the next 40 days. But whatever it is, I ask you to think about taking on or giving something up. For the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness as he prepared himself for ministry, we ourselves can go through 40 days of Lent to give up or take on something, to recommit ourselves to Christ, to think about what it means to be humble in spirit, to know that we are significant because God is significant, to know that we are under God's care and receive eternal life with him, that we can make the kingdom of heaven present on earth where all are loved. To think about those things as we will continue to look at the Beatitudes in the next few weeks. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you guide us, that we know we are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is ours, but ask you, Lord, to help us to be humble in our faith, to not seek the physical, to not seek the material wealth, but instead seek the spiritual wealth. For you know that Christ began his ministry, was bold in his ministry, and taught about your love. We ask, Lord, that you guide us so that we ourselves may be humble in spirit to continue to be your sons and daughters. We pray these things in his name. Amen.